created for excellence. Created for excellence. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at your word today, speak to our hearts, challenge us to move beyond where we are to where you would have each of us be this day, that your name would be glorified in and through us, and we would be the people of God you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, happy Mother's Day. Today is Mother's Day, which is a time in which we say thank you to all of you mothers and special women in our lives who have made us better than what we were. Amen? God chose to send every one of us here into this world through a mother. Is there anybody who arrived a different way? We are in agreement on that. So we came into this world owing a debt to someone who paid a great sacrifice simply for us to be born. And then after we were born, God placed little girls, young ladies, and women in our lives who touched us in very special ways. And to all of them, we can say thank you. If you have been blessed by at least one woman in your life, say amen.
Amen.
If you have been blessed by at least two, say hallelujah. If you have been blessed by three or more, raise your hand and say, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. It looks like we are pro-women here in this church. Now, when God created women, God did so with a plan of excellence in mind. I want every woman and every girl in here right now to say, I am a work of excellence. Some of y'all sounded like you didn't believe it. Say it like you mean it. All right, you are a work of excellence. Now, one of the great tragedies in the world today has been the failure of the world to recognize when God created the woman, God was creating excellence as a gift to the rest of all creation. I want you to use your imagination with me for a moment, and you close your eyes if you want to. I want you to imagine that you've got a beautiful picture in your home that was worth well over a couple of $100,000 because of the person who had painted it. It was a one-of-a-kind of a masterpiece. The artist had put excellence into every stroke of that painting. The colors in it are awesome. The depth perception, amazing. It was the final work of this artist who has been killed in a car accident. And you knew that because this was the last of his paintings, it was going to continue to increase in value. So you give it a place of honor in your home. And you're very proud of that painting. And then one day you come home and the lock on the door is broken. Petty thieves have broken into your home, stolen several items, electronic items, and they've also taken the painting. You report the items to the police, and fortunately for you, you had the items marked and numbered. A few weeks later, the police inform you that several of the items that were taken from your home have been showing up at a flea market. So it's raining that day, and you go to that flea market hoping against hope in search that maybe I'll still find the picture. You look and you look and you look and you look, and finally you see a frame over there in the mud that looks like the frame that once hung in your home. And you go over there and you see that there it is with about five other pictures that you could purchase at the Salvation Army for less than $10. But this picture is now torn. It's obvious that whoever had taken the picture did little to protect it. There's a shoe mark where someone has stepped on it. There's a hole where someone has poked something through the back of it. There's a rip across the bottom where some sharp object had caught it. And as you see your magnificent piece of art lying there in the mud among cheap imitations, battered and bruised, what kind of thoughts go through your mind? Are you angry at what has been done to the picture? Are you angry at those who stole it and felt it was theirs to do with as they please? Do you feel sorry for the one who's trying to sell it for far less than what its true value is? Or are you simply grateful that you found the painting and you have the opportunity to restore it to its former position of excellence? Saints, when it comes to the beautiful painting we have that God has given us called women, too often we have hijacked them for our own purposes, failed to realize their true value, and injured them in ways that have left them feeling stepped upon, wounded, stabbed, and torn in various places. If you are a woman and you're feeling like any of this today, I want you to know that there is a God who created you, who has been searching for you, who is willing to heal you, to mend you, and to put you back together again with all of the glory he intended for you to have. For when you read the Gospels, you discover that Jesus had a special place in his heart for women who were being used and trampled upon. And God intends to use each one of us here to assist in the process of undoing the damage that we ourselves have caused. You see, when God created Eve, she was created with the intention of bringing excellence into the world. Without the presence of a woman as a separate identity, even though everything was perfect in the world, God was able to say, something here is not good. There was Adam, the perfect man, and yet he was missing something that was good. Something that could empower him with excellence. And the good that was missing was Eve. You see, Eve had been created for glory and honor. Her mission in coming into the world was to move from what was good to being excellent. There was something special about woman from the very beginning of creation, and Adam knew instinctively that he was to honor this woman. In Hebrew, the word for man is ish. The word for woman is isha. And when Adam saw Eve, he immediately said, Isha, this is a part of me that is like me, that has come forth out of me. And Adam recognized Eve was on his level and that honor was due to her. And that same honor that was due to Eve is due to all of Eve's descendants, because every woman has been created for glory and honor to bring about excellence. There is a beauty all about you yourself as a woman, because you were created in God's image with the purpose of bringing good into the lives of others. Now, we live in a day in which the glory of the woman has been hijacked by the advertisement industry. She has been reduced to the role of being a sexual object by which we sell everything from soap, deodorant, to luxury cars. I want you to notice when the Bible talks about Eve, it never tells us what she looked like. Was she tall? Was she short? Was she somewhere in between? Was she dark? Was she pale? Was she somewhere in between? Was she skinny? Was she heavy? Was she shaped like a Coke bottle? What about her nose, her lips, her eyes? What color were they? Now, we may get caught up in all of that stuff, but how many of you know God didn't? Eve's glory was not to be defined simply by her physical appearance. Eve was beautiful because of whom God had made her to be. Women, you're beautiful because of whom God made you to be. She brought in new possibility of personal relationships that had not been there before. How many of you know God created women with the ability to build good relationships? Now, men, we just have to admit it. When it comes to relationships, When there's a problem in a relationship, we find out about it 3 weeks after it happened. But she knows about it immediately. When God created Eve, he had a larger purpose for her in mind than simply being a sex partner for Adam. Now, you'll often hear preachers preach that God created Eve to be a helpmate or helpmeet, helpmate, whichever way. And that's why you women ought to listen to us as men, because she was created to be a helpmeet. Now, even though the King James uses the word helpmeet, the NIV uses the word helper, but the Hebrew word simply means help. And it's found in Psalm 33:20 when it says, "We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." All right, now does anybody here think that God is subordinate to you because he is your help? Being help does not mean you are beneath someone else. At times you may be the stronger one. At times you may be the weaker one. Sometimes you may be on the exact same level. Eve was a help suitable for Adam, and that means she could rise to whatever level of help Adam needed for the situation. I think a better term to help us understand what her position was instead of help is the word empower. Women have a great ability to empower and aspire others to rise above where they are. How many of you have had another woman tell you, "You can do this," but you thought you couldn't do it? But because she told you you could do it, you were empowered. God created woman in such a way for her to be a help and an empowerer in many ways and situations. And I want you to realize a woman does not have to be married to be an empowerer. Even if there is not an Adam in her life, she still is an empowerer to others. She can be an empowerer to other women, an empowerer to children, an empowerer to situations, an empowerer to the church. Where would the church be today if there were no women in it? Now, the first commandment we find in the scriptures given to us all concerning women is found in Exodus in the fifth of the Ten Commandments, in which it says for us to honor our mothers. That same verse is repeated a couple of times in the New Testament, and Jesus got upset with the Pharisees when they found a way to get around this commandment. What does it mean to honor her? To honor means to treat with respect, to look upon with favor, to do good, to look out for, to be a blessing, and to lift up. The interesting thing about being a Christian is we are commanded to do stuff whether the other person deserve it or not. Amen? We don't wait for our mothers to deserve to be honored. We honor them because God says, this is your mother, and this is what you are to do. Now, here is God's will for us toward our mothers and toward women in general. Now, for some of us, it's going to be more difficult than for others, but the commandment is for our own well-being as well as that of our mothers. For at the heart of this commandment is the desire that we should forgive our mothers for the mistakes they have made and are making. And it's also a chance for us to bless our mothers for whatever good they have done, whether it's small or great. For without them, the good we have done would not have been done. I'm going to talk to each one of us, our groups. First, I want to talk to us as men. Men, how do we honor women? We do it by recognizing that all women are special and deserve our respect. At times, they may not act like it. They may not dress like it. They may not look like it. But as men, we are called to look upon all women as Jesus Christ sees them. She may be trying to present herself as a sex symbol, but we are called to rise to a higher level and see her as one for whom Christ died and wants to change. Not simply as objects for our sexual desires, but as precious gifts that can be of tremendous help in our life. We do it by recognizing that women are just as smart as we are and occasionally might be a little bit. Delois, let me preach my sermon. I don't need you helping me out. But as Delois said, even smarter than we are. Half the ladies that fell asleep done woke up. We honor them by listening to their values and their opinions, realizing that occasionally our way may not be the best way to proceed. We honor them by being careful in the tone that we talk to them, recognizing them as our equals and not as our children. We honor them by the names we call them. We honor them by standing by their side. We honor them by admitting when we were wrong. Just seeing if y'all was listening. When we were wrong and apologizing when we should apologize. We honor them by doing the little things that are important to them, like watching movies when you'd rather go to sleep. We honor them by not asking of them to do things they don't feel comfortable with. We honor them by lifting them up before others, by being support and encouragement. We honor them by remembering to say thank you and by being faithful to whatever vows we have. Why are you ladies trying to find y'all's husbands? Look at all over. Hey, is he listening? Praise God. We honor them by accepting them as Jesus accepts us. We honor them by being as much like Jesus as we possibly can. All right, we got more than just men. Young people, how do you honor your mother or grandmother or the woman in your life? You honor them by doing what is right. Proverbs 29:15 tells us that a child who does whatever he or she wants to do brings disgrace to his or her mother. You honor your mother by the way you behave in school. Your mother should not be coming to the school because of your behavior in class. You know how to respect your teachers. You know how to do your work. Why bring pain and heartache to your mother by not doing your part at school? You honor her by doing the things she asked you to do at home without. Any of y'all besides me had kids in your house where you asked them to do something and it sent them into a zombie state? I don't know if it was the Holy Ghost or what ghost was coming up on them. Praise God. Thank you, dear brother. You should be willing to help out just as often as you are willing to eat, sleep in a bed, or ask for something. You have the potential to be a great blessing to your mother by the way you behave and you speak. You see, we as men, we're not the only one with the tone problem in our voice. Sometimes as teenagers, just want to put some teeth out. You honor them by remembering that she is the adult and you are the child. You honor them by sharing some of the struggles you are having and some of the things going on in your life. Most mothers really do want to help you. They are not just trying to get into your business. Because the moment you mess up in your business is going to become her business. You honor them by showing you are trustworthy. You go where you say you are gonna go, and you leave when things are there going in the wrong direction. listen to the advice she offers, and you admit that in your great wisdom as a teenager, you do not know everything there is to know about life. I can still remember when I was 14. I just knew I knew everything. Didn't know a thing about how bills got paid or anything else that really of consequence. You honor her by recognizing she will often pay a great price for the bad and wrong decisions you make with your life. Before you do something by taking a chance, ask the question, when something goes wrong here, what's the price my mother is going to have to pay? We were at a birthday party and the kids were giving tribute to their mom. And one of the guys said, mom talked about how he loved his mother so much. And he said, you know, mom, when I was about to do things that I knew was wrong, I thought about how this would hurt you. And I chose not to do it. That's what it means to love your parents. That's what it means to love your mom. I said, oh, I just love her. Show it. You honor her by saying yes to the will of God for your life. Satan is intent on making sure you don't succeed in life. Even though you may not understand why your mom appears to be so strict, you honor her by recognizing she's trying to help you get through some difficult periods in your life without you having a little one following behind you saying, mommy, daddy, mommy, daddy. Let's move on. Young adults, middle-aged adults. Uh-oh, some of y'all slipping down now. How do you honor your mother? You do it by recognizing now is the time I should be giving back even more for all that she has done for me. If you are living at home and you have a job, you ought to be paying rent to her just like you would any landlord. And you pay her rent before you go out and buy the car you cannot afford. Before you get the sound system that we can hear in Berea. Before you go buy your wardrobe where you dress to kill. Ain't got a dime in your pocket, but you sure looking good. Before you come out, well, you know, I would help out if I didn't have all these bills. You know, even if she doesn't ask you for rent, you should offer it to it. Because it's the right thing to do. And if she wants to give it back to you, you just praise God. But that ought to be her decision, not yours. You know good and well it costs money to live somewhere and to eat somebody's food. You think I'm wrong? You go to somebody's house and start eating up their food, sleeping in their bed, and get you a paycheck and don't give them nothing. You don't have to worry about sleeping there the next week, I tell you that. To honor your mother is being willing to give to her what you would give to strangers. Romans 13:8 says, give everyone what you owe him. Now, if you're living at home and you don't have a job to help pay your way, you don't have to feel bad about that. If you don't have any money, you don't have any money. But if your hands work, you can get in there and wash dishes. You can find a vacuum cleaner. You can find an iron and whatever else needs to be done. A lawnmower for cutting the grass, a shovel for shoveling the snow. And then when you finish, you're not asking, can you have a few dollars for doing that? You honor. Guilty soul back there. You honor her by recognizing your children, and they are your primary responsibility. Sure, mom may be willing to help, But you don't come over to our house with the kids and sneak out the back door and take off. Talking about she wasn't going to be doing nothing no ways. You don't know what she was going to be doing. And sometimes you look to live long enough just to be able to do nothing. Sometimes it's a blessing to just sit at home and you ain't watching nobody's kids. You just doing nothing. And it's your right to be able to do nothing. So you call and you say, Mom, can you take care of the kids for such and such and so? And if she never answers your phone, that's a sign right there. You calling and dropping them off too often. She loves her grandchildren, but she was not called to be their mother or father. If your plans include her to take care, you call her in advance to see if it's okay. And sometimes she may need financial assistance from you. Don't embarrass her by saying, well, I'm going to just wait and see if she asks for something. If she tells you once, and at the end of the month, it really is a struggle. Right then and there, she's telling you, I could use some help. You do not grab her hand and say, let's pray about this. You look and you see, now how can I shift some of this money I got and send her a little something each month? Why? She did it for you for over 18 years. Well, women. Oh, it's getting silent now. Women, you were created for glory and honor. But there comes a time when you must choose to honor yourself. Now, there are many people who are looking at you for only for what they can get. You have to set some boundaries for your life. You have to choose to not be abused or misused. You have to choose to have the respect and admiration for yourself that Jesus has for you. Sometimes that means saying no to demands that others place on your life. Sometimes that means you got to get out of a relationship you done got yourself in. Now, women, we as men, we like to come to church to worship God. We'd like your assistance. When you come in here showing this curve and that curve, and we try to say, holy is the Lord. You're not helping your brothers in Christ. We do not need for you to come in here with them pantyhose and nothing else on. They just black pantyhose painted black. And then y'all try to pretend like y'all helping us by wearing a little skirt over them, but that come about right here. We don't need that in the church. We don't need that on the street. We don't need y'all walking down the street in y'all's pajamas. We do not need for y'all to accentuate what God has blessed you with. Y'all get these things here and push y'all breast up like this. One of the brothers told me, he said, Pastor Rick, you got to talk to some of these girls in our church because I'm trying to live holy, but I ain't got that holy yet. We need for y'all to help us stay holy. Now, we got a responsibility to look the other way. That's why we got the men's look club. But when somebody got a hook in you, it's kind of hard to just look in one direction. Now, do you know how often the average man thinks about sex? There are a few exceptions. Men, The average, let's see, probably in every 5 minutes, it might cross our minds 30, 40 times, possibly, men. Now, most of the time, we're thinking about Jesus. The other time, that's where we are most of the time. But in those moments of weakness, Pastor Toby will testify, I'm either hugging her or we praising Jesus. Okay. So we need for you to be considerate of your brothers in Christ and help us out. Now, you think it's warm today? It's really going to be warm in June and July. Don't y'all come in here with no short shorts on. Okay? We will have the air conditioning on during June and July and August. So just come prepared. And if I just kind of tap you on the shoulder and put my arm around you and we walking off to the side, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I done had to do it a couple of times. Oh, my goodness. There's a group of guys talking around, and this young guy was asking his older Christians, he says, well, when is it that a man quit even being sexually tempted like that? They all looked down at this guy who was the oldest in the group. He was about 83. He told them, gonna have to find somebody older than me to ask. All right, y'all done got me off test. There comes a time, also women, to respect yourself means you have to let others pay for the choices they make with their lives. You can't run behind them and fix everything. Now, if you got a kid that's selling drugs, and they just keep on selling drugs, you need to tell them, you better be putting some of that money in the bank, because sooner or later they're going to catch you and you're going to need a lawyer. And I'm not getting a second and third job to pay for your legal fees. We have an aunt, one of my cousins that I grew up with, hanging out on the street corner. Him and three other guys, they got mad at this guy over something to do with drugs, shot and killed the boy, shot him about 5 times. I watched my aunt get a second job for about 10 years, working on appeal after appeal after appeal to try to get him out of jail. All that money she wasted. He still served 25 years. And I think of how she could have enjoyed her life if she hadn't been sacrificing, sacrificing, sacrificing all that time. You honor yourself by standing up for your children when they are right and being willing to admit when they are wrong. Let your kids know that you love and accept them and you're going to fight for them. But if they are wrong, they are wrong. If you get called to the school because your kid done cussed out a teacher, don't you go walking into school tomorrow. Well, what did you say to my child in the first place? Your child was just wrong. And deal with that. Now, any of you who say, now, I don't want nobody down there at that church talking to my kids. There's First Church there, second one there, Holy Baptized Monumental Church of the Supreme Savior over there. Because if they doing wrong, we going to tell them that is wrong. The Bible says, do not stand up for a bad cause. You honor and respect yourself, women, by knowing you are of incredible value in the eyes of God. And if a man wants to have all of you, you ought to have all of him, which means both of your names on the marriage certificate there on the wall. Simply shacking up together is not an option for Christians. Living together does not prepare you for marriage. Living together prepares you for divorce. Because you come into it saying, if this thing don't work, I'm out of here. Marriage says, we're committed to making this thing work. Now, you say, I gotta make sure I find the right person. So you're looking for this perfect person. How many of you know? First of all, there isn't one. Second of all, you wouldn't want to be married to one. Why? Because when they tell you, you've been doing this, you've been doing that, and I'm sick and tired of you doing that, what's the first thing you want to say? You ain't perfect. Oh, yes, he is. Yes, she is. Now you can't do nothing but kill the person. You are going to have difficulties in relationships. All that nonsense about there's a knight coming on a shining horse and they live happily ever after is nonsense. You're going to have struggles. Simply living together to see how long it takes for the struggle to come. They're coming. Whether you married or not. Pastor Toby and I will be married 30 years in August. It has been a wonderful 30 years. It's been a 30 years out with some mountains and some valleys and some plains and some mountains and some valleys. You know, I would have thought by now, first of all, I thought when we first got married that I was going to be the perfect husband. Everybody was going to want me. I realized I made a couple of mistakes. I thought surely by now I ought to have this thing under my belt. I realize I am just as bad as I ever was. Need remaking all over again. I thank God that she has patience. And whoever you marry is going to be just like that. So go in with the full deal, because you're going to need all of the grace and mercy that God can provide. There is something far worse than being by yourself. And that is being with somebody that will treat you any old kind of a way. There are women who leave this world every day at the hands of that live-in boyfriend who just couldn't take it no more. You are of incredible value. Demand that they pay full price for you. Whatever that price is, that's what they should have to pay. You honor yourself by doing all that you can to build up your home with words of encouragement and support to everybody in the house. You honor yourself when you strive to be the woman God has called you to be. When you show your image of Jesus Christ to everyone you run into. You see, the real key to your joy is in the relationship you have with Jesus. Nobody wants you to be any happier, any more complete, any more rewarded than Jesus does. God created for you to bring about excellence. No woman is perfect, but you are still a work of excellence. Be willing to accept the place that Jesus Christ has for you. You see, when Jesus went to the cross, he was dying for all of us. Because he knew that if any of us got our own way, not only would we be wrecking our lives, we'd be wrecking the lives of those around us. That's why God wants to give us all a new nature, to make it possible for us to honor one another in the way that God desires for us to do. All of us, my friends, need the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives today. For we are all works of excellence, but only as we submit ourselves to the will of God.